great to be with you guys. It's sad that it's been a long year together. You know, Zoom certainly has allowed us to connect. Unfortunately, the circumstances, there are some positives and negatives. This is one of the positives, the ability to teach in this way. So I thank Reish Shabtai for the wonderful opportunity and thank all of you for joining to learn together in this beautiful chabur that you guys spend so much time learning, spending your afternoons dedicated to Limud HaTorah. So this is the last week together, as I mentioned, and it's right before the Pesach, the Yontif of Zman Cherusenu, the month of Geula. So I figured I'd speak about some ideas of Nisan and Pesach, Vayikra, and see where this takes us a little bit. So let's start off a little bit from the Parshios. You know, it opens up in the beginning of Parsha Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem." When a person goes ahead and he's makriv a karban to Hashem, so the Medrash wonders why the word Adam is used as opposed to the word Ish. And the word Ish appears more times in the Torah. It seems to be a bit more fitting than the word Adam. It should have said Ish ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. What's Lashon Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem? And the Medrash Tanchuma says something very fascinating. The word Adam is a reference to the Adam, Adam HaRishon. The idea being that every single carbon that we bring is really a kapara for the initial sin, the original sin of Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava. Every Avera that we violate is an outgrowth of the Avera, the Chet of Adam and Chava. The Baal Shem Tov actually explains when the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos, Avera goreres Avera. That one sin causes the next sin, causes the next sin is a domino effect. He says that's a reference to the first Avera of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. That Avera, that original sin, is goreres every single Avera thereafter throughout all of history. So therefore, every carbon we bring for an Avera is supposed to atone for that Avera, but the Averas that were prior to it that ultimately caused it. So that's the idea of Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. So let me add a little bit more flavor, a little bit more tam to this understanding. Which food was the Eitz Hadas? What exactly did Adam and Chava eat from? What was it? So we find in the Gemara, we find in the Midrashim, that there are four different types of food suggested by the different opinions. One opinion is that it was an esok tree. The other opinion is that it's a te'ena, a fig tree. And others suggest it was a chita, it was made from wheat, and yet others say gefen, it was grapes. And they all explain different reasons how they know it was this fruit, it was esog, it was a te'ena, chita, gefen, all different types of remuzim. And we know that Chazal teaches us, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're all right. They're all right. Somehow, maybe this tree had all fruits growing together. Somehow, in a very deep way, it referenced the gefen, esog, but something about this Eitz Hadas had all four of these combined. Now, that being the case, every single time we are bringing a karban, we're being mechaper for these items, we're being mechaper for the eating of the esog, of the te'ena, the chita, and the gefen. So now listen to this amazing thing. So, Chodesh Nisan coincides with Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is the sefer that talks all about karbanos. And Chodesh Nisan is also all about being makriv karbanos, as I'll explain in just a second. But listen to this amazing idea. When it says Eschag HaMatzos, the Jikifer explains the letters Eschag, as in Eschag HaMatzos, pay attention to these letters. Aleph is a reference to Esrog. Tuf is a reference to Te'ena. Ches is a reference to Chita. Gimel is a reference to Gefen. Eschag are the Rashi tables for Esrog, Te'ena, Chita, and Gefen. Eschag HaMatzos is supposed to be the beginning of the Kapara of the Adam HaRishon, of the Eitz Hadas. That's what he explains. So if you take the Gematria of Chametz and Seor, it's the same exact Gematria as Eitz Hadas. Because the halachas of Pesach, Eschag HaMatzos, getting rid of the Chametz and Seor is somehow a kapara for the original chet of Adam HaRishon, as in the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. Everything we're trying to be mechaper for, all the tshuva, goes back to Adam Arishon, but start off with Pesach. Pesach is a process in the tshuva. So now listen to this even neater than that. So what happens with Leil Seder? The two main mitzvahs we have Leil Seder is matzah and dal kosos. Matzah comes from chita. The eating of the matzah is supposed to be mechaper for the eating of the chita of the Eitz Hadas. The dal kosos, the gefen, the grapes, the wine, is mechaper for the gefen, the approach step, the Eitz Hadas was made of grapes. Now Pesach is just the first of the Shlosh Regalim. We know there's also Shavuos and there's also Sukkos. So now we carry ahead to Shavuos. Shavuos is the time of Bikurim. Bikurim takes place during the times of Shavuos, and the din of Bikurim, just a quick summary, is that Bikurim is when the first fruits of the Shivas Haminim begin to grow. The farmer takes a little string and wraps it around it, and then when it comes to full growth, he brings it to Yerushalayim and gives it to the Kohen there. So when the Mishnah describes what the farmer does, pay attention to what example the Mishnah chooses. Haroa te'ena shebikra. If the farmer, or when the farmer sees the fig that begins to grow on the tree, korech ala gemi, begins to tie a string. Somehow a te'ena is the model, is the prototype of the Shivas Aminim as it relates to Bikurim, and Bikurim again is a time of Shavuos. Somehow Shavuos is a tikkun for the te'ena. Now we fast forward ahead to the third and final Shlosh Regalim. This one should be obvious, which is the last one standing, the Esrog. And the eating, or not eating, but at least the shaking of the Dal Minim, and some have the practice of eating the Esrog after Dal Minim, after Sukkot rather, the Esrog on Sukkot is mechaper for those who think it was the Esrog tree. So you see all four of these opinions of the Esrog, the Te'ein, the Chit, and Gefen, are all accomplished between Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And it all starts with this week's Parsha, this month of Nisan, and the Yontif of Pesach. So it should come as no surprise to us that V'chiper, when the Pasuk says and describes the Kapara that people will achieve through Karbanos, it says V'chiper alav ha-Kohen lefnei Hashem. The Kohen provides the Kapara in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nislach lo, the Gematria of a Nislach is 148, which is the same exact Gematria as Pesach, 148 as well. Pesach is the beginning process of the tshuva process. So now, if Pesach is really the tshuva process, listen to this, we're going to describe a little bit more. Pesach and Nisan parallels Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. If I were to ask you, which is the time of the year of tshuva, of slicha, kapara, you would all say, as I would say, it's the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Adin, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, all of Tishrei, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, that's the climax of all the tshuva. That's what we would have said. But the Sfarim teach us that really Nisan is also a time of slicha, a time of tshuva. So let me explain. You know, there's a practice brought down by the Ramah that one goes to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur. That's part of the process of tshuva. So do we have any case by going to the mikvah by Pesach, by Chodesh Nisan? So there is a remez. Listen to this beautiful remez. Last week's Parsha, right? Right before Rosh Chodesh, we'll explain how Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also a Rosh Hashanah, but you have to go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah. So last week's Parsha, we had two Parshas. We had the Parsha of Vayakel, and we had the Parsha of Pekudei. And the Chidah notes that the Gematria of Vayakel, 151, is the same exact Gematria as Mikvah, which is also 151. In Parshas Pekudei, we read the words Hukam HaMishkan, that the Mishkan was elevated, it was lifted up. The letters Hukam are the same exact letters as Mikvah, just out of order. Somehow the Mishkan, somehow the Yakel referred to was a hint to some type of Mikvah. So what does that mean? So you and I know that a Mikvah is when a person goes into a Mikvah, rainwater, or perhaps a natural spring. But the Gemara tells us in a few places, there are substitutes for mikvah. So one example is the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Tes, where a certain Siddiqui, a certain Apikoros asked Rabbi Abahu, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen, and he was Metame Mace when he buried Moshe Benu, in what way, B'mai Tavel? What did he do to become Tahor? It says in the Pasuk, all the waters in the world fit into Hashem's palm, He can't go into the water. Rabbi Abba responds, Kadosh Baruch Hu could enter into the fire. He could go into the Eish. Eish also can substitute for a mikvah. It doesn't have to be Mayim, it could be Eish. But you and I cannot go into the fire, so we have to resort to water. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he goes in the fire. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes Tahor. It has the same exact impact and effect as a mikvah itself. Another example, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph tells us. It says in the pasuk when Bilam was giving a bracha, it connected the pasuk of Nachal to oil, Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov, it connects it to a Nachal, to a river. So the Gemara says, just like a Nachal, just like Mayim, just like a mikvah, could mitahir a person from his tumah, so too being in the ohel, which is a reference to the ohel shel Torah in a base medjush, limud Torah could also mitahir a person. So it doesn't have to be through mayim, but even through esh, even through limud Torah, a person could go through the process of cleansing. So that being said, Chida explains vayakel pekudei, gathering together be'achdus, and he adds be'achdus when it comes to limud Torah. When it comes to being in the oil of the Mishkan, the oil Moed, and the Shekhinah is present, that is some element of a mikvah. It's a mikvah going through the cleansing, the spiritual cleansing in the Mishkan. So that all took place right before Chodesh Nisan. So that's the mikvah we have in Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. Now, where's the Rosh Hashanah? So this one's pretty obvious, because the Mishnah already tells us, the very first Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that there are four Rosh Hashanahs throughout the year. One is Aleph Tishrei, which is what we call Rosh Hashanah. But yet there's another one, which is the beginning of Nisan, Aleph Nisan, which is the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, Rosh Hashanah for Shtaros, Rosh Hashanah for Chaldashim. So that also is a Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Nisan. So we have the mikvah, we have Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Nisan. That parallels itself very nicely. There's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. When was the world created? One holds it was created in Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei. One holds it was created Aleph Nisan. So Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah says, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both correct. They are not arguing. So how do you explain it? How do you reconcile? It's clearly a machlokas. Says the Tosfos, because in Tishrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world b'machshava. He created the concept. He thought about creating the world. But B'maisa, he only created in Nisan. That's when the world actually came to fruition. And the Gayoni Ashah says it's very meduyak. Because what do we say Rosh Hashanah between blowing the shofar? We say, Hayom Haras Olam. Haras means to conceive. Leda took place in Nisan, but the conception took place in Tishrei. The conception, B'machshava, was Tishrei, but the Leda, the birth, took place in Nisan. So there is no machlokas, but we see that the very strong parallel between Aleph Tishrei and Aleph Nisan. They're both a beginning of the world, both a Yom HaDin of some sort. So now we have a mikvah, we have a Yom HaDin, we have a Rosh Hashanah. Now the Shem Yishmael asks a very interesting question. Shem Yishmael says, we were told on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Hazelachem, we were told, everybody, go get yourself a sheep. Go get a sheep for Karban Pesach. But when did we actually get the sheep? We only got it on the 10th of Nisan. 10th of Nisan, which in Pesach Mitzrayim was Shabbos, that's Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is when we got it. So Shem Yishmael asks, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us 10 days beforehand to go ahead and collect a Pesach? Why didn't he tell us 2 days beforehand, 5 days, the day of? Why 10 days beforehand before having to actually get it? Says the Shem Yishmael, the 10 days of Aleph Nisan until the 10th of Nisan are corresponding to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The 10 days of Tshuva, the 10 days of preparation to Yom Kippur. Shabbos HaGadol, which was the 10th of Nisan in Mitzrayim, was the same exact thing as Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei. It's no coincidence either that the only two times that Chazal tells us that the rabbi has to give a drasha to the rabbim, Shabbos Tshuva, Shabbos HaGadol. There's a strong parallel between Yom Kippur and that of Shabbos HaGadol. So these 10 days lead up to Aseres Yimei Tshuva, ultimately to Yom Kippur and to Shabbos HaGadol. So now what about Pesach and Shavuos? Again, we have a mikvah, we have Rosh Hashanah connections, we have Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Pesach and Sukkot themselves are an obvious one as well. They both fall out on the 15th of the month, Tesvav. The Gemara invokes a Gzer Shava known as Tesvav Tesvav. Many halachas that apply to matzah apply to eating the sukkah. Just like there's a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night on Tesvav, there's an equal chiyuv to eat sukkah in the sukkah the first night, Tesvav Tishrei. So we have all these different connections between the tshuva process of Tishrei and the tshuva process of Nisan. But there is a very, very important fundamental difference between the tshuva of Nisan and Pesach versus the tshuva of Tishrei and Yom Kippur. And that's as follows. The din is that there's something called tshuva me'ava, and there's something called tshuva me'ira. The tshuva through fear, that's tshuva me'ira, and there's tshuva me'ava, tshuva through love. Tshuva me'ira is because you're scared of sin, you're scared of punishment, you're scared of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain ema, a fear, a certain pachad a person has. Now that tshuva me'ira is a wonderful thing, but the Gemara says it takes your zedonos. It takes all the averes you did on purpose and brings it down a level to shkagos, to accidental sins. But even shkagos require kapara. So that's what takes place during Tishrei. Tishrei is what's called Yimei HaDin. Din means you're scared of judgment, you're fearful of judgment. So those are days of Yimei HaDin, Tshuva Meira. It knocks it down, but they still require kapara. Tshuva Me'ava is about a certain love. When you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not because you're scared, but because you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to come closer, that's tshuva me'ara, ava. There's sumera, which removes the evil, removes the avera, but there's the ase tov. The Baal Shem Tov always emphasized the best way to do tshuva is almost to ignore the ra and ase tov. Connect to what you want to connect with, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do the right thing. Do mitzvahs, do chesed, daven, learn Torah. That's ase tov, that's what's called tshuva me'ava. In Tshuva Me'ava, the Gemara in Yuma says, it takes the Zedonos and Naasels Kizichuyos. They turn them into Zichuyos. You know, there's a Gemara in Brachos that says, B'makom Shabali Tshuva Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. The very place, the very pillar upon which a Tzadik Gemur stands, or rather a Baal Tshuva stands, a Tzadik Gemur doesn't come even close. How come a Tzadik Gemur, he was born as a Tzadik, he lived his whole life as a tzaddik. He can't come close and near even a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva spent his life doing terrible things. Okay, he did tshuva now, but how could he be better than a tzaddik gomer? So many, many mefarshim weigh in, but this is what the Prima Gadim says. You know why? Because a Baal Tshuva, when he does a tshuva me'ava, he takes all his averos, which could be compounded, and turns them into zechuyos. And now that weighs down the scale heavily, and his zechuyos, his mitzvahs, perhaps are greater than even a tzaddik gamur. That's his understanding. So either way, Pesach is a time of tshuva me'ava, where the zedonos are transformed into zechuyos. So listen to this interesting distinction. We get rid of bread on Pesach, that's obvious. But we also get rid of bread Rosh Hashanah time, Tishrei time. There's a very widespread practice when it comes to tashlich. We take the bread and we throw it out. Not getting involved in halacha, whether you should do this on Shabbos Yom Tov or not, but either way, that certainly is a widely practiced minhag to take bread and throw it during tashlich. So what's the difference between the bread of tashlich and the bread that's burnt on chametz? The following. Tashlich, the bread represents chametz, the bread represents the Yetzirah as we know. So when it comes to Tishrei time, where it's tshuva medin, tshuva meyira, we're scared, we don't want the chametz because they're averos still, they're still shkagos. So we get rid of it, we throw them away. When it comes to the chametz and Pesach, we burn it. What happens to that which you burn? It goes up into smoke. It goes up into Shemayim. It's something that we want to embrace and hold on to. It turns the chametz, it evaporates it, and goes up to become zechuyos up in Shemayim. So tshuva me'ava is the emphasis, is the focus when it comes to the days of Nisan, the days of Pesach. So that's why it says also, there's a custom many have the first 12 days of Nisan, to read the Karbanos, the Psukim of the 12 Nisim. Each day is correspond to a different Nasi. What's the idea? So it says in this week's Parsha again, it says in Vayikra, it says, Asher Nasi Yechte, when a Nasi sins. So Gemara asks, it should say, Ki Nasi Yechte. All the other Psukim have the word Ki. How come by the Nasi it says Asher when it happens? So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Asher Ador Shehanasi Shelo No Sein Lev. Praiseworthy is the generation whereby the Nasi, he pays attention, he's No Sein Lev, Lahavi Kapara Ashkagasa, that he's willing to admit his mistakes and bring a karba. So the first 12 days we talk about a great Nasi who brings their karbanos, and that's supposed to serve as a model for each one of us, that if the Nasi is willing to admit his averos, how much more should we be doing this? So these first 12 days are a way of getting us into the mode of karbanos, of kapara, because Nisan is also about kapara. It's about tshuva me'ava. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the avoda. Unfortunately, we don't have karbanos anymore, but instead of karbanos, we have tefillah. We have tefillah, which stands in the place of karbanos. Now, tefillah also is supposed to be a form of kapara. If you dig deep inside a person, the Rabbi Yochanan talks about halavai she'adam yispal kol yom. Halavai, a person davens all day long. The essence of a person is to daven. Everything we do is should daven. Now, how could Rabbi Yochanan say you daven all day long? How do we do mitzvahs? How do you learn Torah? How do you do chesed if you're davening all day long? And the idea, I think, is as follows. Now, many times I'm asked the following question when it comes to a different Q&A. This question oftentimes comes up. I was interviewed a few months ago for my boys' yeshiva. They asked me the question, right, Pesach Kron actually was the interviewer. He asked me, what's so special about Esh Kodesh when it comes to tefillah? Tefillah is taken so seriously there, and it's a warm, inviting, quiet davening. So I said to him, because most people think tefillah is about asking for something that you need. And many times we don't need things. When people need things, so they're in a chanami, they're davening really, really well. But when you don't need things, so what are you davening for? There's no point. And many high school rabbeim have a hard time engaging their students in davening better. Because a high school student has what he wants. Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. He maybe has a car. Maybe he's good at sports. He eats what he wants. He does what he wants. No rules. So what do you have to daven for? He goes to camp, he goes on vacations. So if your perspective of tefillah is simply about getting what you want, then tefillah oftentimes will be pointless. But if tefillah is about connecting to the other being on the other end of the line, namely to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then tefillah is much more powerful. You're having a conversation with Ribbono Shel Olam. That should be the focus, not realizing I need this, I need that, we need so many things. Yes, it's important to realize how much we need. It's important to realize that we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to grant us those needs, but more importantly, it's be able to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Tshuva Me'ava is. Tshuva Me'ava is connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Ben Yishchai points out this interesting, that we start off with the word Adam, right? Adam ki yakum yikem, the word Adam. So Adam, listen to the hidden letters of Adam. If you spell the word Adam, Aleph, Aleph Lamed Fe, Dalet is Dalet Lamed Tuf, and Mem is Mem Mem. The hidden letters of Aleph, Dal, Mem are the same letters as Mispalel. The essence of the Adam is to daven. Davening means to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to realize how much we need to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence of everything that we're doing. It's the essence of Tshuva Me'ava. It's the essence of Tefillah. It's the essence of Karbanos. It's the essence of Nisan. It's the essence of all of Pesach. So how does a person have the ability to daven? And I think this is one last thing I want to finish off with. I see my Raisie's here. Raisie, come sit in my lap. I'm watching my little Raisie. She's going to join me on the video for a moment here. So Raisie, she's hanging out with me for today. So hi, Raisie. So the idea is as follows. We're going to be having Shabbos HaGadol next week. We said Shabbos HaGadol is like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of tefillah. And Shabbos HaGadol is also a day of tefillah, a different type of tefillah. So I think if we realize how much we have in ourselves, we believe in ourselves, we believe in the koach ha-tefillah, I really believe we can understand that's how Tshuva Me'ava works. Davening to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not because we're scared, not because we're scared of sin or punishment, but simply because we want to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I perhaps shared this with you in the past, I don't know if I did, but there's a Tshumas HaDeshem that asks the following question. Whatever happened to Eliyahu Navi's wife? Eliyahu Navi just disappeared. He never died. He disappeared. So he wanted to know, well, was she single then? Could she get remarried? He didn't die. So what was the end result? So he says, well, maybe you're going to tell me, who cares? My dehava hava. That's all history. What's the relevance to me and you? Tshumas HaDeshen says, maybe someone like me and you could be zocha to the level of Eliyahu Navi. And maybe we could get to such a level where we could just vanish.
And we'd have to ask the question, well, what happens to our wife then if we vanish, if we get to the level? That means that Truman Sadeshin really felt that people have the ability to become like Eliyahu Navi. That we have it within ourselves so we can believe that we can become Eliyahu Navi, which is a fascinating thing. Shabbos HaGadol is all about realizing your greatness in tefillah, the greatness is in person. That's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. That's why at a Bris Milah, we say, Zeh Katan Gadol Yihyeh. Everything about Eliyahu Navi is about being great, about being Gadol. That's why Eliyahu Navi's kos, his cup, is a big cup. Because everything about him is godless. At the Seder, at the Bris Milah, we had this huge chair, a huge kisei shel Eliyahu, for Eliyahu Navi to sit on. And what else do we say? It's called Shabbos HaGadol, but also we have something called Hallel HaGadol. What's Hallel HaGadol? If you're learning the sugyas of Daf Yomi, you're going to see in the next couple of days, we're going to learn about Hallel. Hallel HaGadol is Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Liolam Chazdo. Those words. When do we say those words? We say them at a Bris Milah. Because everything about Eliyahu Navi is godless. This child has godless to be like Eliyahu Navi. We say Hallel HaGadol to believe in yourself, to believe in your tefillah. And Leil Seder as well, it's all about Hallel. We have a special, we say Hallel HaGadol, we say regular Hallel. It's all about davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu and realizing your greatness. So let me finish off with one incredible ma'isa about the Koach HaTefillah. So a number of years ago, there was a ma'isa in Camp Keli. I may have told this to you, I don't remember. Baruch Hashem, we've had so many shirim together, I can't remember what I said here, what I said elsewhere. If it's a repeat, I'm sorry. But either way, it's a beautiful story. There's a ma'isa happened, the story in Camp Keli. Camp Keli is a camp up in upstate New York. And there was a van traveling from Cleveland bringing some boys to the camp. And while they're driving, the driver realized there was some smoke coming out of the hood. So he pulled over to the side and he opened the hood and he made a couple of adjustments and he slammed the hood shut and continued on his way. And then he was traveling further towards camp, and then again smoke started to come out of the van, but this time a lot more smoke began to come out. So he told the boys, he pulled over really quickly, he told the boys to get out of the van and run. So they got out of the van and they ran. And shortly thereafter, the van went up in flames and smoke, and everything they had on the van was completely burnt to a crisp. But Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt, not the driver, not the boys. And they sent another van to pick up the boys. They had to get new tefillin, new clothing, everything had to be replaced. But Baruch Hashem, everybody was fine. And of course, the boys were very shaken up by such an experience. But a few days in camp, they were all fine. They all adjusted just fine, except one boy. One boy said he wanted to go back home to Cleveland. And so Rabbi Brazil, who's Damas Mashul, a good friend of mine, who's the director of the camp, so he wanted to know why. The boy didn't really want to talk about it. So he asked if he could have him speak to the best counselor that they have on staff. So the boy was willing to. There's another friend of mine, Rabbi Benji Renov, was the one who was tapped to speak to the boy. So he took the boy out somewhere. I think they went to Walmart, bought him something to break the ice a little bit. And he said to him, so I understand it was a very scary experience, but Baruch Hashem, everyone was fine, and no one got hurt, just some clothing, and Baruch Hashem, everything's replaced. So why do you want to go back home? What's bothering you so much? So the boy looks down, and the boy says, now listen, I was the one who said Tfilas HaDerech. It was all my fault. And without a blink of an eye, Rabbi Renov said, are you kidding me? You were the hero. Imagine what would have happened had you not said Tfilas HaDerech. Your Tfilas HaDerech saved every single boy on that van. It was your tefillah. And with that different perspective, the boy was so happy, so proud, so confident in his tefillah, he was happy, more than happy, to stay the rest of the summer knowing that his tefillah was answered, knowing that he was the hero. So that's the essence. The way to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the month of Nisan, the Yontif of Pesach, is Chua Me'ava. It's through tefillah, the Koach of Adam. Yes, we're trying to be mechaper for the initial chayt of Adam Rishon, but by us doing the Aseh Tov, connecting through love, through tefillah, through Torah and Chesed, that's going to bring the ultimate gula. Have a wonderful day, guys. Great seeing everybody.